This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Oh, it doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't. No. Okay. I mean, you could probably find a way to mess around with it and get
it. I bet you I could.
It's limited the number of apps you can get on it.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. This is episode 174 of What Did You Watch This Week? And John and I got Samsung Galaxy Watches.
That's right.
We're like Parker Lewis and synchronized the bad boy.
That's right. These are not the Watch Active. These are not the Galaxy Fit like what I had. These are the full-on with the rotating bezel.
Yeah.
Official Samsung Galaxy Watch, 46 millimeter, because we're big guys.
We're big guys. We need big watches.
That's right. Big now, guy, big watch.
Now, here's the thing. This is the first thing we did after we finally got together. It's like, I'm going to call you from my watch, and you answer it on your watch. And then we went to different parts of the house, and we talked to each other over our watches like we're Dick fucking Tracy.
Because
we're 40, and this is the greatest toy we've ever owned.
And there are going to be some people out there who go, who's Dick Tracy?
Just Googling.
Yeah. They said Dick. A two-way wrist communicator.
It's a two-way wrist communicator. Yeah. It's amazing.
Oh, it's so fucking great.
It really is.
I've had mine longer than Mike has just because I ordered it the last time we recorded.
Yes.
And he ordered it that same night, but for some reason his got delayed and mine didn't.
Mine got delayed in shipping like twice, and then it finally showed up today. But they did have a big coupon on it when we ordered, and maybe they just lost. Yeah. Maybe their supply diminished. I don't know.
Yeah, all I know is that I've been messing around with it for a while now, and I love it. Like, first thing in the morning, I pick it up off my nightstand, and it puts this little star with a smiley face, and it says, good morning!
See, my phone cares about me. If I turn it up too loud, it says, hey, that might hurt your ears.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, it says, hey, maybe you should go for a walk.
Oh, yeah, this will do that. You're going to get a notification when you're sitting there. Suddenly, it'll vibrate, and you'll look down, and it'll say, you've been sitting on your fat, lazy ass for at least an hour. Do you want to do a torso twist? Press check mark, and we'll show you how to do a torso twist. Yeah.
Huh.
Yep.
Well, there was a widget that was like Samsung multi-exercise something.
Yep.
I shut that fucker off.
Yeah, that's if you want to like, oh, I'm going to track my rowing and my lifting. And yeah.
No. I'm not
going to
track any of
this
stuff.
But this will. It will remind you, hey, it's been an hour since you've moved. Mm-hmm. Get up and go poop or something. And then if you get up and you walk a little bit, it'll say, great, you're back on track. It's very positive. Just like walk to the pooper.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, I watched some stuff and things.
I did too.
Cool.
I didn't think I was going to have a lot, but I actually got through quite a few things.
Got a couple trailers.
Yep.
I got some news. I went through some fall release date stuff.
Okay.
I didn't know. I can't remember if we're going to talk about that this week or not.
We've batted it around a couple of times.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
We may have to dedicate an entire episode to it.
Oh, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see where we're at when it comes time to talk about it later.
All right. So what'd you watch?
I watched all of Glow.
I did as well.
I watched an episode of Wu Assassins.
I watched three.
I caught up on The Detour.
Including this week's episode with the Russian bride?
No, then. I watched the ones where they're on the plane.
Oh, my God.
And they hit turbulence. Yeah.
The exploding toilet.
Squatty potty exploded all over.
That was my best note. Like, I'm just like, okay, it's two plane rides. They're doing the, you know, these guys have a plane ride. These guys. Oh, my God, the exploding toilet. And they get back together at the end.
Yes, that's where I finalized.
Yeah, it was a good episode. So you watched the one from before that. I can't remember what it was.
Obviously, the Japanese game show one, and then the funeral, the fake funeral.
Oh, yeah. They were trying to lure Delilah out. Dude, that fake funeral was great. The Canadian version of Mr. Rogers was what he was supposed to be. But
he was also Dorf.
Yeah, Yeah.
Yeah. And he was highly inappropriate.
Oh, God. Yeah. It was a French midget, you know, and everything was very racist and
his show was very inappropriate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And Nate was just like, he grew up with him like we grew up with Mr. Rogers. So he was like, I always loved this guy. And now he's saying that, you know, he's my dad.
Yeah.
His mom's just like, yeah, there were a bunch of guys, you know.
I just pointed at him.
Yeah.
She's like, I wrote a lot of dick. Basically what this old lady said. I wrote a lot of dick in the 70s. I just pointed at
him. It very much reminded me of Barney.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's my dad? I don't know. That guy. Bob Barker.
But yeah, so yeah,
this episode, there was this episode this week, which was, I called it the Russian Groom. And then next week is the season finale.
Is it the series finale?
No.
Okay.
They haven't been canceled yet. So,
oh man.
I'm
tired.
I also ended up watching, the most recent In-Between.
I did.
Except for last night's.
No, I didn't watch last night.
And, I finished off The Loudest Voice, that miniseries event on Showtime. About Roger Ailes and the... I just got to say, since it was a miniseries, you know, the episodes were named after years. So, like, one episode would be 1990 or, you know, whatever it was. One episode was 2015 and 2016. This was a really good show. I really enjoyed it. Did not portray Roger Ailes in a very positive light at all. They did talk about the fact that, you know, as a result of him and his determination and his practices, which were very misogynistic and very sexist. I mean, you know, telling women like, I got you this job because you're a beauty queen. Just go out there and look pretty, stuff like that. But as a result of all of his shit, Fox News became and remains the number one cable news network on TV.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, it's terrible to think of, but, you know, he basically sat down and said, all these other news programs out there, CNN, MSNBC, you know, these all have a liberal bent. I want to speak to the conservatives. I want to speak to the common man. And he created a news network that flourished. He was a shithead.
It's Rude's favorite 24-hour news channel.
I believe that, yeah. I'm not a fan at all.
I'm not either. Unfortunately, it's the one that's on at work all the time.
Yeah.
And I have no interest in watching it.
Yeah, I never enjoyed that when I was there.
And it really sucks. Mm. And honestly, I think 24-hour news channels are, I'm not going to say they're the downfall of society, but they sure are fucking contributing.
Yeah.
Because it's not necessary.
No, it's not.
Literally, like, I got into work yesterday at 3:00 in the afternoon, and almost immediately... And for the next 18 hours, 16 hours, whatever it was, may have been the day before, it doesn't fucking matter. The Philly officer shooting?
Yes.
That's all that was on the screen. Yeah. Breaking news. It's not breaking news.
No.
It happened 7 hours ago.
Yeah. It ended at 11:30 at night.
You know what I mean?
The officers are okay. Yeah. You know, they're just recovering.
They just covered it. Cover. Beat it to death. And I hate the constant. See, I'm going on a rampage. I hate the constant misinformation that's put out and then retracted apologies. Oh, yes. we're just trying to get the most. And that's the problem. Like, my mom and I were talking about this a while ago, and she's like scared because all this bad stuff's happening in the world and on and on and on and this and that. And I just say, you know, Mom, honestly, I don't think there's any more bad stuff going on now than there was 30 years ago. We just didn't know about it.
Right.
Because when you
had a half an hour news program,
exactly, when you were subject to watching the nightly news every night from 6:30 to 7, they had 30 minutes, 24 minutes with commercials basically or whatever to deliver the news to you. So they only give you the biggest and baddest stuff. They're not going to tell you every little thing. Unlike now, where we have umpteen 24 hour news channels where they have to fill, you know, you're going to hear about everything.
That was one of the only good things about the second Anchorman movie.
Yeah.
There were two good things. One was watching Kristen Wiig and Steve Carell have a stupid romance. It was wonderful.
That was good.
And two was how they basically called that out, you know, the creation of the 24-hour news networks and how it was based around nothing but sensationalism.
Yep.
You know, watching O.J.'s Bronco.
Chase, yeah.
And then replaying it over and over and over and over and over again. Yeah, so... That aside, this was a really good miniseries.
Yeah.
I strongly recommend it to anybody. especially if you don't like Fox News. Even if you do, you'd probably learn some stuff. You probably anybody who likes Fox News would be like, oh, this is all fake. But, you know, it ended on one of those where it showed where the people are and talked about it.
Yeah.
Roger Ailes is dead now, so no big loss. But Russell Crowe did a really good job of portraying a very overweight, very disturbed man. Yeah.
All right. I watched I'm just going to skip to this real quick. I watched a documentary.
Okay.
It came out on Showtime last year, but I don't have Showtime, and then Showtime put it on their YouTube channel.
Hmm.
And it's the Bipolar Rock and Roller. It's about Mauro Ranallo. And Mauro Ranallo he's one of the greatest sports commentators for pro wrestling, mixed martial arts, kickboxing. You know, he's done all kinds of things, and he has bipolar disorder.
Okay.
And I thought I knew what bipolar was, and I've kind of experienced it from work talking to people all the time, but to see him go through it, to see them how he can be allowed to film him when he's at his best moments and when he's at his worst moments and moments in between and everything else and whatnot, it was pretty amazing and touching and
scary
as hell at times, but it was really, really good. Like, whether you like wrestling or mixed martial arts or boxing or kickboxing or whatever, if you just want to watch a really good story, true story about a guy literally battling his personal demons of this mental health disorder he has and overcoming it and trying to be positive, it's pretty amazing.
Thanks.
It's pretty amazing. It like kind of explains why he's such a good commentator and announcer and how much emotion and passion he puts in there, because his sounds so weird, but it's like he takes all his kind of angst and anguish and anxiety from when he's battling with himself for this and just puts it right in there. Okay. And he can get out all his internal emotions instead of balling up the side or holding them up. He just lets it go in his commentary.
And, I got you.
You know what I mean? Like, he has an outlet for it, and it's a positive outlet, and he gets it out, but it's good. It's real good. I can't – and again, it's right there on YouTube. Just go to Showtime's YouTube channel. Just Google Bipolar Rock and Roller.
Why do they call him Bipolar Rock and Roller?
I don't know.
Oh, I think it was just like a rhyme, so.
Probably, yeah.
So maybe the Bipolar Crowd Troller, you know, that could have worked.
He's got a lot of people fighting on his side.
Good.
He's got a great support people. Anyways, I started to watch Two Sentence Horror Story because the first two episodes came out.
Oh, okay.
I forgot about it until I was looking at like premiere dates.
Mm-hmm.
But the freaking CW app on my tablet.
You've said fuck like 17 times already.
It's so quiet that I didn't watch it yet, but it's out if you haven't seen it.
Okay. Yeah, my smart TV doesn't have a CW app. So basically, if I want to watch it on my TV, I have to either record it, you know, on my DVR, or I have to, stream it. So, you know, throw it up on my laptop and then cast it up there. I don't know why Samsungs don't have CW apps, but they don't.
I don't have a Samsung. I have a Sharp Roku TV. That's right. So, that's weird. I watched two episodes of a show called Harrow.
Okay.
H-A-I-I-O-W.
The hell was that?
I don't know.
Okay.
What was the name of that show with the medical examiner? And
Forever?
Yes. Yeah. It lasted one season.
Yeah. Ian Grofeld.
So he's the star. He is the star of this show. This is an Australian TV show.
I've seen the poster or the screenshot of it where he's just standing there and he's like,
Yeah, okay, fair enough. This is a Australian TV show. The first season's already out. The second season just premiered. It's on, I think they said it's on, the second season's also on Hulu. That's where I watched it, was Hulu.
Okay.
And it tells the story of Dr. Daniel Harrow, a forensic pathologist.
Jesus.
So he's kind of, yeah, exactly. With total disregard for authority. So
this time he's just a rebel.
Kinda. He has an unfailing empathy for the dead, which helps him solve even the most bizarre cases. willing to bend every rule. It's basically, he's a detective who's not a police officer again, type of story, but he's at least a forensic pathologist, but not like the guys on CSI who do the crime scenes and solve stuff, because all he does is
sexually harass their lab workers.
Sure. He does autopsies.
Oh, yeah.
But then he goes out in the field and trespasses and goes to people's houses without warrants. And because he has total disregard for authority.
So he will not respect your authority.
He will not. And he's got some personal issues with his daughter being a shithead and some ex-wife issues. And then he's got mentor issues with his old mentors in an old age home. And then right off in the first episode, it starts out showing some guy dumping a body in a body of water. And at the end of the episode, you find out it was him.
Oh, nice.
Because they've discovered the body. Fisherman found it. And so now he's...
So is he like part Dexter?
I don't know, because that's not the implication. Mm. But I think it has something to do with his old mentor, who's in this old age home and is missing a leg, apparently. And so I don't know. But it was kind of weird how that was the beginning of the story. But I enjoyed the first two episodes. I'm gonna keep running with it.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you liked him as an actor, you'll like this show. Because he's kind of playing the same role, except he doesn't die and come back to life.
He also wasn't bad as Mr. Fantastic. In the two Fantastic Four movies.
Oh, shit, that's right. That was him.
The real Fantastic Four movies, not the Roger Corman movie, and not that Fant-Four stick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else did you watch?
Well, we covered The In-Between. Well, we still have to talk
about... No, we haven't talked about
The In-Between. Right. So, The In-Between.
Okay.
This was the episode where she sees the girl who's dressed right out of the 80s with the Walkman on her hip, and she's dancing. This is actually, by the way, the next week is or this week that just came up here is the season finale. Probably won't get renewed, but...
That would suck if that's the case.
So this girl had ties to Ed Roven, the
serial killer guy, yes.
That keeps coming to her. But he gets really pissy, and he's like, stay away from this one. You stay out of my business. And so we get to see more of his history as they learn about where he got his start on the shipyard and his mentor.
Yep.
The guy, the now old guy, but he was a young guy at the time, and how they would...
He wasn't that much older than him, though.
No.
Yeah.
No. Now he is, because, you know, Ed's been dead and kind of stayed
yes,
at that
yes,
age.
Yes, but I mean, like...
They're only teenage boys.
Yeah, right? A few years apart.
20 years old or something. Yeah. Greasers. But this guy taught him about killing girls, and he actually talked passionately about how he had this girl who he had a relationship with her, and he loved her, and
he was living dual lives.
Yes, because then he'd go and murder with his buddy.
Yep.
And then one day, his buddy told him, "You got to pick me or her." And so he thought he could get away with like still doing them both. So his buddy said, you know, called her up and or wrote
left
her a
note and said, "Meet me here." And she rolled in on them killing a girl.
Yep. And then they had to kind of kill her. But unlike all the other bodies that were buried in this guy's backyard, Ed took care of her and put her, you know, at the spot that would mean something.
And he didn't take her eyes.
Right.
No, he started taking eyes after her because he didn't want anyone to look at him the way she did.
Right,
because
he had that whole speech there where he basically said that she was looking at him. He goes, "She almost convinced me to stop."
Yeah.
"Just that look in her eyes almost convinced me to stop, but I didn't."
Yeah.
And ever since then, I always took their eyes so that they could never pull that crap with me again.
Now, he had a protege that we met in the earlier episodes.
Yeah, which was the kid of one of his victims.
Right.
Which is the one that he got caught with, and that's why he was executed.
But he was a child when he was executed, and now he's an adult, and he is... No.
He was you mean the kid.
Yes.
He was a child when his mother was killed.
Yes. So now we have this thing where the killer, I guess, Ed, right?
Ed.
So Tom goes to see this guy in prison, Ed's protege. And basically he's like, he says, you knew more than you should. It's almost like he's talking to you. It's almost like he's just sitting on your shoulder talking to you and this and that.
Because they weren't just copycats. They were absolutely flawless down to the littlest detail.
Basically, he's like, in his mind, Tom's mind, this guy can talk to dead people like Cassie can. Mm-hmm. And the guy, of course, like, "I don't want you talking about, you're crazy, blah, blah, blah." And he leaves, and then you see Ed come up and go, "Hey, it's time to break you out of here." So he Ed's talking smiles. About, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think Ed's trying to get him to go kill Cassie now. I think that's what's going to happen in the season finale because she, you know, messed with him.
Right. It's a good show.
I really enjoy it.
I do, too.
I like the actors. I like the cast. I like the stories. I mean, that's really good. Like, it goes back to a couple episodes ago, and this is really a selling point for me on this. Her powers, they didn't make it a mystery. They didn't make it that, you know, oh, only she...
It's not a clone.
Yeah. They didn't make it that... They made it only that she can... Like, the partner... They're going to keep it from his partner.
Mm-hmm.
They told him. They gave him a reason to believe her, you know?
Yep.
And then you have that moment in that one episode where she's like, hey... just had a thing, a bunch of bugs. Don't know if it's mine. Don't know if it's yours. Figured I'd let you know. Bunch of bugs. Got it. You know what I mean? What was that? It's Cassie. She saw a whole ton of bugs. I don't know. Keep it in mind. Okay. And they move on.
Yep.
I love it.
Yep.
That, to me, that was
absolutely.
That was fantastic. I don't know if this is my thing or your thing, but. So I enjoy the show. I hope it gets renewed. I'd rather see it come back for more than 10 episodes, but at the same time, maybe that's the limit for shows nowadays. Maybe, you know, this 22-episode season stuff that, they've always done and that they kind of still do, maybe that's what makes shows like Supernatural frustrating to watch because there's so many weak episodes because you can only have – like, you can't have 22 awesome episodes. You know you're going to have some shit ones.
Right.
But if you have just 10 episodes that you're focusing on for the season, you can have 10 good polished episodes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot to do, like, with to wrestling relate this, you have SummerSlam, and then NXT will do a takeover the day before. And at takeover, you have a polished 3-hour show with 5 matches that they spent 2 months building. And then with SummerSlam, you have a 5.5-hour show with 13 matches that they spent 4 weeks building. So, I mean, that's kind of similar.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
Yeah. So you said you watched one episode of Woo Assassins.
I did.
Did you watch one because you're all done and you're not going to watch anymore, or just that's all you could fit in?
I watched one because it's all I could fit in. I thought about watching a second one and I didn't. I don't. Something about it.
Oh, it's cheesy as fuck.
Yeah.
The fighting is good.
Yes.
But the dialogue is pretty cheesy.
It's terrible.
The special effects in some of the scenes are god awful. Like, I'm 3 episodes in and I've now seen, you've seen the woman that talks to him in white. Her name is Yin Yang. Don't know if you knew that or not.
No.
Yeah, that's not cheesy or Chinesey or whatever. But she shows him a boulder that he needs to move, and then his training will be complete. And it looks green screened really bad. And then when he fights the boulder and he's like punching it, going, whoa, 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 it's like something right out of a fucking Ultraman show. I mean, it's cheesy.
See, this is what I don't like. I don't like the fact that he is... He was given, like, a stone that gives him the powers of all these monks.
1,000 monks. The soul of the monk.
And, all right, here we go.
And it's the only one that exists.
Yeah. Iko Uwais.
Yeah.
He's the actor.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
Oh, yeah. I love him.
I love him. He's great. He's a great actor. I love him in his action movies. He's a great fighter, this and that. I hate the fact that in this show, he's not the fighter. It's the monk inside him that fights for him.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, so if the monk's not around, he's going to get his ass kicked?
Mm.
Or if he can't channel him? Or I don't
know. And
if
he has the power of 1,000 monks, and she's like, oh, and they will, it's something like they will shield you so that nobody can see you.
Why are we only seeing Mark Dacascos?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is he the only one?
I don't know.
There's 1,000 of them in him.
I thought
that it was going to be like, you know, a Brave Star kind of thing.
I was very excited about it, and I was looking forward to it. And then I watched the first episode, and I went, aww.
Yeah, I'm 3 episodes in. It's not enough for me to say I'm not watching any more of it. There's only like 10 episodes. I'll probably watch the rest of them, but they'll be background shows. It's definitely not holding my attention enough.
I'm probably going to keep watching it for the point of watching the fight scenes.
Yeah. Adam Ruins Everything came back this week.
What do you ruin?
Started with Adam Ruins America.
I think Trump's doing a great job of that himself. Sorry, I hate to go political.
Oh, it's true. No, but a lot of what he was talking about was basically the Constitution and, you know, oh, everybody says, oh, the Constitution is great, great, great. But basically, the Constitution came about because in 1787, the Founding Fathers were supposed to amend the Articles of Confederation, which is what our country was founded on. the Articles of Confederation. They were supposed to amend those and bring them up to speed and make them good. Instead, they threw out the entire system and made their own. And because it was a whole new system, they needed to get every state to ratify it. And this was when we had the slave-loving states and the not-slave-loving states. So they basically had to give a lot of provisions to the slave-loving states to make them enticed into ratifying it.
Yep.
They talked about – this was an interesting fact that I hadn't heard. They were talking about the KKK when it rose to power, Birth of a Nation, Gone with the Wind, all that stuff. The KKK in its history has massacred more people than Al-Qaeda and ISIS put together. More American citizens than Al-Qaeda and ISIS put together.
It's a fact I've never heard before, but
you think about how long they've been around. It is a homegrown terrorist unit, and it still exists to this day.
And honestly, back in the day, they got away with lynching a lot of people.
They sure did. He was talking about the disparity between the rich and the poor, and how a lot of the problems with poor people come from people saying, well, why don't you just do something about it? And they can't, you know, whether they don't have college education or a house to live in, you know, or a bike. The biggest thing was unexpected bills. He said a recent poll said that 46% of Americans said that they would be unable to handle an unexpected $400 bill. $400, you know, washing machine breaks. Yep. You need to replace it. $400. They couldn't do it right now because they don't have the money in savings.
I'll tell you this. 5 years ago, I couldn't.
It's scary.
Yeah.
It's scary. I've been there.
Yeah.
I had that long year and a half of unemployment.
Yeah.
And ate in all my savings. I couldn't do anything.
No, I remember. I actually remember that as well. But yeah. I mean, I remember my time with my first wife, and then when I got divorced and everything else. And honestly, you know what? Until 3 years ago, I didn't have a savings account that didn't have more than a minimum balance in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the last 3 years since Kate and I bought this house, we've been able to tuck away your savings and be responsible and have things happen today. Like, I had some lights come on in the van, and I was just like, okay, so what happens if this costs $700 to get this fixed? She's like, savings. So, yeah, I mean, we direct deposit money every pay period. So, yeah, but, you know, 3 years ago, I didn't have a savings account.
Right.
That had any money in it, basically.
Yep.
So,
yeah,
I understand that completely. Yeah.
Out of the top 24 countries in the world, we're 16th for upward mobility. So we don't have people who are meeting the American dream and, you know, working hard and getting rich. Working hard doesn't get you rich anymore. It barely gets you survivable wages these days.
My son was just saying today earlier, he's like, man, it would have been great to live back in the day when everything was so much cheaper. I'm like, Kanan, everyone made less money back then too.
Yeah.
You know, a house was $20,000, but you got paid $2 an hour.
Exactly. If you were rich.
Right. You know, so I mean, no, it's not.
One of the things that I did find particularly interesting, and again, it's something we all kind of know, but most decisions nowadays, most political discussions, most theological discussions, most anything that comes up in this country is not based around like rational, logical thought or philosophy or anything like that.
That doesn't surprise me.
It's based on the Constitution. And what did the founding fathers mean 200 years ago? They're all dead.
Yeah.
They were just people. This wasn't like Jeebus coming down from on high and handing out commandments and shit. These were just dudes that were doing the best. They were fucking wealthy white landowners. And
we were doing the best they could.
Yeah. And this is what all of the – think about it. Every time something comes up, well, it's a constitutional right. Well, the Constitution says, well, we've got a Constitution that tells us that we are guaranteed these – everybody falls back on it. It's the one thing that everybody holds up as like a sacred document. And it's kind of pathetic, honestly.
You know, it's not like they haven't updated things over the years in it, but the core values of it really have never changed. And that's what people hang their hat on.
Exactly.
Freedom of the press.
Yeah.
Freedom of speech.
Right to bear arms.
Yeah.
Yeah. For a militia. Yeah, but we don't care about that part. We care about the part that says right to bear arms.
Right, but no one needs, you know, 10 guns.
Right.
You know, like
10 assault rifles.
Right.
Yes. We just lost some listeners.
Probably not. I don't think anyone that listens to this is.
Said that it's been, I think he said 20 or 25 years since we've actually amended the Constitution, because it's so hard to do so now. You need two-thirds of Congress or two-thirds of the Senate to actually pass it, and then three-quarters of the states have to ratify it. So if 13 states say, no, we're not doing it, it doesn't pass. So that's why there hasn't been an actual successful amendment in decades.
Yep. That doesn't surprise me.
Nope.
Did he ruin anything else this episode?
No, it was pretty much just, oh, this was interesting. The Louisiana Purchase, Franklin Delano Roosevelt's New Deal,
yep.
and the Emancipation Proclamation.
Yeah.
All three of those, big things that we all know through history, things that have kind of shaped our nation in one way or another, all three of them were unconstitutional.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? The Louisiana Purchase, the New Deal, and the
Emancipation Proclamation.
They were all unconstitutional at the time. I thought that was very interesting.
I went to Boston on Monday with my daughter for our daddy-daughter day trip we took.
Okay.
And we took a harbor cruise.
Duck boat or just a...
Nope. Through Boston. It's just a big, like, giant freaking boat we sat on the top of. You go through harbor cruise and they just tell you it's a historic harbor cruise. They tell you about different things and this and that. And this is the one takeaway I had. And people listening to this, you should go Google it. Sincerely.
Okay.
75% of Boston is man-made land.
Really?
Yes. From 1630 to now, look at the two different maps. You're going to be like, what? Like, you can, like, think National Geographic one that actually shows you color, kind of does it by color, where it says, this is the original shoreline, this is the new shoreline. And what it is they build walls of stone and then bring in fill and then build on top of it. Where Logan Airport is,
yeah.
that used to be the ocean and three islands. Then they combined everything together.
Wow.
Back Bay, which is a neighborhood in Boston. Mm-hmm. You know why it was called Back Bay? Because it used to be a bay, and they filled it in. There's parts of the shoreline.
They backfilled it.
Yeah. There's parts of the shoreline that now extend greater than 1,000 feet out from its original shoreline.
Wow. That's kind of insane.
So, and they're still doing it. Yeah.
Wow.
75% of Boston is man-made land.
It's kind of pathetic.
When she said that, I'm like, what the hell is they talking about? And then she starts explaining it, and I'm like, oh, I can see what she's talking about.
Yeah.
And then when I got home and I Googled that, I was like, holy shit. Like,
wow.
Holy shit. It's amazing. It really is amazing how.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like, sincerely, you should definitely Google that. Anyways.
So.
We're talking about American history.
Only two shows left that I have to talk about. That was All of Glow, season yep. 3. And I finished Easy.
So, did you think of Easy?
So, I thought that Easy was actually awesome.
Yeah, it really is.
I love the fact that you have some characters that will appear multiple times across the entire run. I don't even consider this like three seasons.
Right.
Because it's just, you're meeting up with these people at different points in their lives.
It's 25 episodes, which is a season for some shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got some characters that come up more often than others, and you've got some
Andy
characters.
And Kyle.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, I'll always call her Trouble, but, you know, Trouble yeah. and her girlfriend. And they all seem to grow a lot. Like, Andy and Kyle, I think their relationship grew the most. Everything in this show is about either relationships,
yeah.
and I'm not talking just loving relationships, because you got the one of the ones that I just watched at the end there was the street salesman, you know, the guy who was selling stuff, and his brother and his boss.
Right.
You know, so it's relationships, it's communications. You had Kate Micucci, mm-hmm. who started off her run as like the third with a man and a woman. You know, they were like, why don't you come be our unicorn? And they had a three-way,
mm-hmm.
weird three-way, you know, with the baby kept yeah. crying and one of them would go up to watch the baby and put it back to sleep. And then the other two would keep playing with each other. And then the husband and wife finished each other off while Kate Micucci was up there. But then, like, the next episode that we see her in, they're not mentioned at all. And she's she ends up like babysitting for a friend of hers who has to go because her baby daddy OD'd in a different state. So she has to go and take part in the funeral. And Kate Micucci kind of like develops this bond with the kid. And you think she's going to go like hand that rocks the cradle. But instead she's just like, why don't you let me live with you? And she forms a relationship with this woman as a friend, but like as a surrogate second parent for the kid. So you've got some really interesting dynamics at play here. Andy and what was it?
Kyle.
Theirs was the most interesting because it started off with just them. We got the most
episodes with them.
Yeah.
Kyle was in another episode is like at a bachelor party or something.
That was the cool thing. Yeah. Is like these people would – like Trouble showed up in one episode as like the youth counselor.
Yeah.
You know, doing the volunteer work for that girl who was a real asshole, you know. But that was an interesting one too. Every one of these stories is just – it's almost like a more a less horror-filled version of, like, Creepshow or something like that, you know, or Black Mirror without twists. Just, like, normal people Black Mirror.
Like, with Andy and Kyle, it starts out where they're going to see the therapist and their love life sucks and this and that. And she's like, I want an open marriage.
Yeah.
And so they
like, right there in front of the therapist without discussing it with him or anything.
And they give it a try. And she immediately goes out and gets railed by some guy. And then he's like, kind of, and then, like, we get to the next episode. And they're functioning and living and they're having their open marriage and everything's going great. And she's struggling with it now.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to the next episode and he's just got all these dates, banging all these different girls and this and that. And now she's regretting it. And I think like the last episode we see them is her basically saying like, I don't want to have an open relationship anymore. I think this experiment needs to come to an end. I want it to end. And he's like, no, what are you talking about? Whereas the first episode, he's like, no, what are you talking about? You want to do this? But I think in the end, they decide to be together and everything. But watching that experiment of their relationship over those multiple episodes, and it's clearly a passage of time as well. To me, that was fascinating as hell.
Because, again, you're not getting all four of their episodes or all five of their episodes all at once.
No.
It's spread out. Like, all of a sudden, it'll be like next episode. Oh, hey, they're back, you know?
Yep. Over all three seasons.
Right.
Yeah.
And what was really interesting about their relationship for me, to play more on what you were talking about there, so when she started the relationship, she just wanted to get railed.
Yes.
Like, she wanted sex.
Wanted to be fucked hard.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Bigger, like, aggressively hard.
And he was a doughy guy
who,
you know, every time she tried to act sexy, he'd kind of get a little bit awkward.
He just wants to make nice, soft, romantic love.
Yeah. And she's like, no, I want to get pounded. So, you know, she goes into it with that expectation. He's just like, I'm not that kind of guy. So he kind of like goes out with a buddy of his when he's supposed to be going on dates and they drink a beer. And then this girl from work shows up. She has a plain woman. Yeah, but she's a very plain woman. You know, nobody in any of these shows is supermodel. These are all very regular looking people.
Which is kind of nice.
It is.
But like
she tries kissing him, and he's like, this is too awkward, I'm sorry.
He only starts having sex with other people because his wife is.
Right.
That's the only reason why.
Right. So then when we catch up with him again, like you were saying, now they're both into it, but he's mostly with that girl who had a crush on him.
Yeah.
And then a little ways into it, like, she wants something different, so she's like, let's just go back to being friends. She's like, let's stop doing the friends with benefits and let's just be friends. So he wingmans her, you know, and he tries to help her out. Meanwhile, his wife is, you know, doing her thing and getting plowed and having a great time. But then his crush, like, by the next episode, she's like, look, I miss you and I miss being friends with you. They actually form a genuine loving relationship, which is why when his wife wants to call it quits, because she's just like, she takes that black guy back and she just gets pounded by him. And then he just goes, gets in the shower and then sends her home in a cab. And he's like, oh, there you go. And she's like, I'm not getting anything out of this. Meanwhile, he actually formed a strong relationship.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's what he tells her. He's like, no, I really like this woman.
Yeah.
And she's like, are you in love with her? And he's like, yes, but I'm also in love with you. You know, I'm in love with both of you. And she's like, well, this sucks for me. And he's like, sorry, but
this is what you wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's not mean about it, but he's not willing to, He's like, I want to see where this goes, and I want to still be with you and still have our kids.
And be married to you, but I want to see this, yeah.
Yep. So it was very interesting. I really liked the entire series. There were a few episodes where I was just like, all right, let's get through this episode. And, you know, the street salesman, I couldn't have cared less about him, you know. There was a lot of, I'll be honest, you know, there was a lot of jive talk, a lot of street talk, you know, a lot of N-words being thrown around. And it just, that's not my kind of thing.
I'm not comfortable with that.
He's, and his methods of sales, I don't care who you are, I hate that. You know, he's like, oh man, you know, these things are $35 inside, I'll give you 2 for $20. And they're like, how about 2 for $50? All right, man, you bend me over, 2 for $50. No, I... People that chase you through the streets and want to, oh, man, I get a great deal for you. No.
It's like when I go to a wrestling show and I got a shirt that'll fit you. Great. Hopefully someone wants to buy it.
Yeah, I don't want to go to your house and look in your closet, sir.
Right. You know what I mean? Like, it's just they want to sell you something.
Oh, or just, like, hold up your shirt and be like, so do I.
Excuse me, but I can't stand that, like. If I want to buy something, I'm going to buy something. Right. And that's like for Colt Cabana, you know, when he works his merch table, he doesn't push anything. He's like, people, if they're going to buy something, they're going to buy something. I don't need to say, oh, hey, you should get this or get this, you know?
Yep.
You're going to buy it, you're going to buy it. Plain and simple.
Yeah. That's why, remember that year that you were working security at Sears?
Yes.
And I came and applied for that, and they're like, well, we don't have any security positions, but you could do sales. You know, you could go out there and sell lawnmowers in winter, and you'd be commissioned. I'm like, no, I can't do that.
Yeah.
No, I'm not a salesman. I will not sell it. You're either going to buy it or you're not.
Right.
I'm not going to sit here and be like, dude, you know what you need? I mean, granted, we come on here and we kind of hype up these shows.
Right.
We're not getting paid for it. No. It's just we really like this stuff.
This is what we do anyways.
Right.
We just now, instead of talking throughout the week, we just focus it on an hour or two in one time.
You get to drink from the fire hose. Oh, we Stanley Spadowski the shit out of this thing.
I think so.
Yes, I strongly recommend Easy to everybody.
Yeah.
Like, there's sex and there's nudity, but it's very tasteful. It's not, like, pornographic. Again, it feels real. Like, sometimes you'll see two people have sex and, like, they'll get up and, oh, you might see a butt or you might see, like, half a boob. But it's just because it's... The whole thing feels like real people.
Yes.
It doesn't feel staged. Sometimes they even stumble over their lines. You know, they'll be like, well, and like two people will talk at the same time. No, you go ahead. So it definitely, I really enjoyed it. And I hope they have more seasons
coming. There's a very large level of realism with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I really got to liking the characters and I would like to see more of them. Yeah. You know, we left on a very big cliffhanger with Trouble and her girlfriend because they reached a point where her girlfriend did the same thing. She was like, I need more to life. And Trouble's like, no, I need to just be a homebody. And her girlfriend went off and lived this life and was an Instagram person and then, you know, kind of crashed and said, oh, I want to sit on your couch. And Trouble's like, that's fine. I've got a date tonight.
The comic book artist whose ex student
Mark Maron.
Yeah, he was great.
He was great.
He was so good in that. I was just thinking about Glow, and I was like, oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
And his awesome suit makes like a graphic novel about their relationship, and he's paranoid about it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All of his episodes were like really deep and meaningful. Yeah. The Beer Brothers, they had a great arc.
Yeah.
You know, we start off with them just like, hey, we've got a really good product that we're brewing here in the garage.
Yeah.
And then they get into business, and then a rift forms between them, and then... I mean, it's a really great series. It's fun to watch. The characters are real. Definitely watch it. Easy is a hard sell for
Absolutely.
Me. I hope they're coming out with more.
Me too. I really do. I mean, these episodes just came out in May, this most season. So I mean, see here. We got September 2016, December 2017, May 2019. So, I mean, there was a big gap over it. There was a year and a half between what?
I just see this thing that says season 4 of Easy is canceled by Netflix.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, there you go. We know now. Third and final season premiered May 10th.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. Mumblecore? What kind of genre is that? Mumblecore is a subgenre of independent film characterized by the naturalistic acting and dialogue, sometimes improvised, low-budget film production emphasizing dialogue over plot. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. A lot of the stuff that we enjoy focuses on dialogue over plot sometimes.
Yeah. So mumblecore, huh?
Yeah, it's called mumblecore.
Okay.
Thank you, Wikipedia, for teaching me something new. So I just got Glow to talk about, and then I watched a movie, and then trailers and some other stuff.
Sounds good. Yeah, I got two movies. So, Glow.
How deep do you want to get into Glow? Because I took notes on all 10 episodes.
I'll go deep. I'll go balls deep.
I don't know if I want to go that deep. Although, right. In the first 3 episodes.
This was a very wrestling light season.
No, not even wrestling light. It was wrestling practically non-existent.
Because even when they were wrestling, it was the exact same show every night. Yeah. Like, I understand Vegas shows are supposed to be like, you know, you come every night and you see the same thing, yeah. And that it's kind of reliable because the audiences always change. But holy shit, dude, the same show.
And these 10 episodes told us a story arc that went 1 year.
Yeah. So for 1 year,
yeah.
Aside from the Freaky Friday episode, which I loved.
Yes.
When they all changed up characters. They were just like, you know what? I'm tired of doing this. Let's just change characters. That was
fun. We saw wrestling then. In the final episode, we saw wrestling. But otherwise, there was very little wrestling throughout.
It was all
relationships. But the first 3 episodes, there was so much sex and nudity.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus. Like, it was like, is this a softcore porn?
It was. I mean, like, we saw a lot of the girls naked we hadn't seen before. And we, like, Liberty Bell, we saw her getting railed a bunch. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I messaged you. Episode 3 when Alison Brie dances around with
the ball. Yeah. I love her little dance.
Yeah, I do
too. But here's the interesting. So Liberty Bell has had a problem every season. The first season, she was a stuffy housewife. She was a former actress.
Former very famous soap opera actress who wasn't as famous anymore. But she was still famous, but she wasn't. The show got canceled or something. And she had a lot of self-importance in herself, and her husband and her relationship was failing. Yeah. That's the first 2 seasons, basically.
Well, no, because the second season was when she developed a coke problem.
Yes. Oh, that's right. She had the drug problem.
And then snapped Alison Brie's leg and, you know, went all... And then in this season, it's like all of that continues, and now she's, like, even more of a control freak.
And she's separated from her child, but... And I'm a producer. This is important that I'm the producer.
Yeah. I'm producing this stuff. I get to make the calls. And she's now a chain smoker,
But basically, the show picks up, the season 3 picks up where season 2 left off. All the girls are heading off to Vegas. They're bringing the show to Vegas.
Because they wanted to sell their, or switch networks, and they were told, no, we own all your characters.
Exactly.
So if you want to do your characters, you have to do what we say.
And so they left. And they basically did, they couldn't do their characters on another TV show, but they could do it on the live show in Vegas.
Right.
So at first, it was supposed to be a 3-month run, and then it got extended through the year.
Yeah.
The show opens with everyone watching Zoya and Liberty Bell cutting a live promo on TV about their upcoming show.
Awkward.
They're live promo about their upcoming show and this and that, and they're timing it with the Challenger liftoff, and I just went, oh God.
I know. Because Zoya, my first note was, oh God, this starts with a Challenger.
Yeah, because Zoya, aka Alison Brie's character, she's Russian. And so she's shitting on everything American, including the school teacher you're sending into space and this and that. And
she came just short of actually saying, I hope the rocket crashes.
Yeah.
She said just about everything else.
Yeah. While Ruth, a.k.a. Zoya, is talking shit and cutting this hardcore heel promo about this and everything, the damn rocket explodes. And it's bad. It's awkward. And then, of course, they go to this really long extended opening credit sequence. But it's...
Which was still cool.
Which was cool, but that's the only one we got. Every other opening sequence was like a real quick...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kept thinking that maybe it was automatically skipping intro, but it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. There was no intro to skip. No. Because it only gave me the option to skip the intro on the first episode. I said, nah, I'm going to watch it. I haven't seen it in a long time. Yeah. And then it just wasn't there for every other episode.
So then for like the next 2 or 3 episodes...
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go right ahead.
I want to keep going on this one real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this establishes why we don't see any wrestling.
Right.
Because basically the show itself they're putting on in Vegas, the wrestling show, essentially rehashes all the wrestling from the first 2 seasons, all the storylines that they did.
The biddies and welfare.
Biddies, welfare, I mean, like, mom.
Oh, my God. So Zoya goes in... double crosses her partner,
yeah.
Fortune Cookie,
yeah.
To win the crown. Then Liberty Bell stands up from the crowd, goes comes up in there,
yes. Fights her, beats her,
wins the crown. Then Welfare Queen comes in and
she wins the crown. And then Zoya comes down and drop kicks her with a zip line. She wins the crown. So essentially, the wrestling show that they're putting on in Vegas, it's the same. It rehashes the first two seasons of all the GLOW wrestling storylines for the most part.
Yeah.
And that's why we don't see wrestling until they do the switch around.
Yeah.
But, like, we also don't see them training or doing anything like that of wrestling for the most part.
Well, we see things like Welfare Queen's back injuries.
Yes.
We get to see the cuts of her, like, flopping and trying to climb into the ring.
Yeah. Well, we see the opening, is her sliding in the ring every night, and then icing her back and drinking wine and taking pills. And yeah. But anyways, so that's why they skip all the wrestling for the rest of the season, basically.
And I get that, but holy God, this is a show about the gorgeous ladies of wrestling.
Right. And it's really about...
I'm not even as big of a wrestling fan as you, and I found myself saying, I want more wrestling.
This show was about the personal lives of the gorgeous ladies of wrestling.
And again, we just sat here talking about how great it is to have character development and good arcs with people in Easy. And yet with this, I was like, holy shit, really? So everyone gets their own drama this season.
Yes. This season also teases the relationship between Ruth and Sam.
Which, does that feel tacked on?
Yep.
Like, he's like 50-something. He has a heart attack.
She even says to him, you're old enough to be my dad. And he's like, so? Or you're twice my age. So?
Yeah.
Yeah. But they get together at the end.
What I was going to say earlier is that Alison Brie spends, like, the first three episodes, like, trying to make up for the fact that she shit on America while the challenge
was
exploding.
Yes.
So she keeps coming up with all these gimmicks, like, oh, well, what if we had, like, a moment of silence? And what if we, you know, she just keeps coming up with all this stuff to basically clear her conscience. And they call her out on it. They're like, look, you feel guilty. You fucked up. Just move on with it. Everyone's going to forget by a month from now.
Well, episode two opens with everybody fucking everybody.
Mm.
Episode two, quite
literally.
Yeah, there's so much sex at the beginning of episode two. And I'm not complaining. It's just, it's a departure.
It's a departure. And I don't honestly remember, felt like it didn't really need to be there.
I just don't remember all this sex happening in the first two seasons. No. That's all.
No, I don't either.
I know we saw Alison Brie having sex with Liberty Bell's husband in the first episode.
But that was to drive the point home that this is why they hated each other.
Right. I just don't remember there being this much sex in the show. Which is, it's fine. I don't like have anything against it. It's just, I don't know. It's not something they established from the get-go. Well, like episode two is Ruth and Sam spending the day together because apparently it's already blackout day because they don't do shows on Sunday. So what are we going to do? Ruth and Sam are going to spend the day together playing blackjack, going for steak dinner, on and on.
The blackjack that they played there was really weird because basically Mark Maron says, I can't gamble. If I sit down to gamble, I lose all track of time and it's a bad thing. So instead, I want you to gamble, and I'm going to stand behind you and lose track of time.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Because she wins a lot with his coaching and guidance, which I don't think would fly in an actual casino. Somebody standing behind you and saying, oh, this is what you're going to do, this is what you're going to do, and then winning like that. I'm pretty sure they'd bust things up.
Probably.
So anyway, then he's like, oh, well, we lost track of time. Let's go get a steak.
Well, she's like, I'll take you to dinner. Yeah. And then he's like, why don't we just go for this? We clearly like each other. And then that's when I have a boyfriend. Yeah, in California. And so then there's tension between the two of them for the next several episodes. And then, of course, by the end, well, we'll get to it. Episode three opens with Cherry complaining about the girls being sloppy and not working out. Apparently a month has already passed by episode three.
Have we seen Liberty Bell doing her whole commuter thing at this point?
I don't think so. Not yet. Maybe. We see the girls go to a dance class, except for Sheila, the wolf girl, and Welfare Mom, because they're going to acting class.
Right, correct. Which makes sense, you know.
And this is the episode where Kong's back goes out, but she refuses to go see a doctor. We never get the explanation as to why she won't go see the doctor. She just won't go see the doctor.
Oh,
God, I love this one. I can't think of her name now, but oh, this is the episode where we see Debbie starts working out, not eating. Liberty Bell, Debbie. She goes back to her old eat and purge ways.
Because, again, she has to have something going on.
Yeah. We see Allison Brie's boobs. This is one of my favorite parts. One of the girls, I can't think of her name, she sleeps with a – she meets a guy at a bar, and she's like, I think this guy thinks I'm a prostitute. I'm going to fuck him anyways. And then after they're done, he's like, so $200? She's like, yeah, that seems fair. And he's like, okay, you're going to pay me $200? She's like, I'm a prostitute. No, you're not. I'm the prostitute. What? And then she refuses to pay him because – and it's hilarious the way they do it.
Right.
And then a few episodes later, it's like, hey, you going out with that with your prostitute man?
Gigolo guy there.
Whatever. She's dating him.
Yeah.
Like, that's hilarious.
Because, as she says, it's safe.
Yeah.
She can control the situation.
Yeah.
She knows that he's out with other people, so there's no worry about him cheating. Yeah. It was kind of funny the way that worked out, but, yeah, made sense.
And then, because of the dance class and everything, which is hilarious, because you have the girls just thinking, oh, showgirls, they're who gives a shit.
Right.
They're not... it's almost like the wrestlers treat the showgirls like football players treat cheerleaders back
exactly.
in the day. Like,
exactly
oh, they're not real athletes, blah, blah, blah. And then they watch these showgirls, and they're very athletic and mm-hmm. in shape and can dance and everything else. And then you have Cherry, who the dance instructor, who used to be a showgirl, but she's not anymore because she had a baby and it wrecked her body, and she's back in shape, but they won't take her again. Now, Cherry's like, I don't want to have a baby because then I won't be able to do what I want to do.
Right.
And
she's not, like, indignant about it, but she literally says, you know, this woman, you know, showed me the light, essentially.
And she tells her husband, and he's pissed because he's like, look, I want to have a kid. We got together because we were going to have a kid. I have waited and waited and waited, and I've put my life on hold to let you do what you want to do because I thought we were going to have a kid out of this. And he gets pissed and he leaves.
Yep.
He heads back to L.A. to go and do stunt work.
Yep.
Yeah. And we don't see him again until, like, the last episode. That's episode 3 when he leaves.
Right.
Yeah.
You almost forget that he's even around.
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, I mean, they're still in the first 3 months at this point. So.
Yep.
Episode 4, more sex, more boobs. We see Liberty Bell naked and getting railed by a fella this time. We find out that she's basically sleeping all with the busboys and bellhops and everything.
Yeah, in fact, I think that's the wording that she uses.
Yep.
She's just sleeping her way through all of them.
We see Dash, how Dash is married to, I can't think of her name now, the Australian girl they got married last season.
Britannica,
yeah. So a magician serves Bash and Debbie and Sam breakfast, and Bash makes him part of the show because
he's a child.
Bash is a child. And now that's the running theme is anyone who comes up to him and shows him their act, whether it be juggling, this, that, or whatever, he's like, here, call my producer Debbie. She'll get you on the show.
Yeah.
We meet a drag queen in this episode, and she becomes, or he, whatever, becomes a factor in the continuing episodes. And he has a show at this hotel as well. And he ends up getting into Wolfie's face. And Wolfie's pissed because she went to that acting class with Welfare Mom, and I thought what she did was great.
Yeah.
You know, and the instructor was like, okay, great, but I'm looking at you and I'm not believing you. What's with the wig? What's with this costume you're wearing? This is, you know, and the drag queen gets her. Like, they have that kind of little...
He was a great character.
He was a great character. But they have this little standoffish type thing where basically he's like... I see you for who you are, and I see you in your costume. Like, I'm in my costume,
mm-hmm.
and I get it.
Yeah.
He doesn't say that directly, but that's what he says.
Right.
And they connect to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And something happens a few episodes later, which is cool as hell.
Yeah.
My note was... he gets Wolfie to open up because of their similarity of them living under a wig.
Yeah.
This is one of the lines he uses.
And again, he is a different person when he puts that on, just like she is.
Yep.
You know, she is a different person than who she was born, who she really is, etc.
And it's one of the last episodes where we finally find out, like, holy shit. Like, we find out what happened to her.
Yeah.
She does this like monologue thing near like episode 9, I think it is. And it's amazing. Absolutely amazing. We find out why she is who she is. There's a lot of character development that's great, but like we talked about earlier, if you're watching this for wrestling, don't watch it for wrestling.
Right. And the thing is, you also have to remember that this is all based on real people. It's historically accurate. No, not everything happens.
It's based on some actual Glow Girls.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Episode 5. This is when they extend the show for the full year. Debbie, of course, doesn't want to do it. And she thinks what she says goes, but basically by the end of it, Bash is like, shut the fuck up, Debbie.
Yeah.
This is my show. This is a Bash Howard production. You know, I'm putting the money up for this. I'm doing the show. If you don't want to be here, then fucking leave.
Yep.
That goes for every single one of you. You're all replaceable. This is my show. This is what I want to do.
Which on the one hand, fuck you, Bash. You know,
kind of.
He's a child.
Right.
But on the other hand, fuck Debbie. Debbie has been a thorn in the side of the entire cast.
Because she is the prima donna, you know, just...
entitled bitch.
Diva, yes. Yes. Prima donna, diva, entitled bitch.
Yep.
Yes. The Collins back goes out. Again, won't go to the doctor. We don't know why. Sam's daughter arrives from spring break with her screenplay. She asks him to read it. We find out kind of later on that they wrote the same story. You know, their story.
Way better.
Their story, but hers is way better.
Yeah.
Welfare Queen, Awesome Kong, whatever. This is the one where she's the one like, hey, let me be a biddy because she can use the walker to get to the ring.
Yeah.
And this is where they mix it up. And this is where, I enjoyed seeing Debbie and Zoya's costume, by the way, because it was just a tad too small. But this is where Sheila shows up as Liza Minnelli with the help of that
which again, I loved him. He was the best part of this season.
Fantastic. I loved his character.
He
was fantastic. Good actor, relatable character. I mean, like his story was fantastic, but he got her to open up when she comes out as Liza Minnelli. Transvestite, that's what I was
thinking. And everybody's just like, holy crap, is that you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at the end is when Bash said, because what happens is the, what's her name?
Gina Davis.
Gina Davis's character, who's running the casino, she goes to the show for the first time, and that's when she's like, I want to extend this through the year.
Because, and it was cool the way that she said it, like, Bash was all worried, everybody was like, you know, she was fucking here tonight. And, you know, Debbie's like, yeah, I know. And,
I think Debbie was trying to tank it.
I think so, too.
And it backfired. Because Bash was getting so like, oh, I guess we're just being whatever now.
And Gina Davis said, you know what? I've been working in Vegas this long, and I know that things get stale, and you guys are doing the right thing and mixing it up. So kudos to you. I want it for the whole year.
Yeah. And Bash is like, well, great. We're going to do it. And Debbie's like, no, I said we won't do it. And that's when he's like, fuck you, Debbie. You can go.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I kind of don't blame Bash because from the beginning, all the way back to episode 1, he's the one that's put up the money for this. He's the one that's fought for it to be on TV, to keep going, to get the girls, to get the show to Vegas, to run the show in Vegas. Does he enjoy spending his time as a Vegas bigwig, quote unquote? Yeah, he is. But at the same time, he has put up all the money for this, and he's the one that's trying to keep this going. He shouldn't end it just because Debbie wants to end it.
Right.
And Sam wants to end it.
And she had just, by having everybody switch up characters, she had just proven to him that they're all replaceable because you know what?
Yep.
Zoya was played by somebody different. Liberty Bell, you're not special anymore.
Right. It's like, you know, I'm applying for a new job, and if I get this new job, it's like, you know, they can tell me all they want, like, oh, I'm one of the best dispatchers here, but the place functioned before me, the place will function after me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It won't function as well.
It really won't.
Which is, we shouldn't be laughing about that. It's 911 dispatch. I mean, that's terrible. Anyway.
So episode 5 ends, and it's almost like this is like a mid-season replacement or something happens. I don't know. Not like a mid-season replacement. It's halfway through the season, so it's almost like, all right, time to go on hiatus.
Mm.
And then episode 6 opens up, and at first you think everyone's packing up to leave because people are packing up their vehicles and they're loading up. So you think, oh, they're all going back to California. Nope, they're going camping in Red Rock Canyon.
Come on.
What?
Again, my biggest complaint is, where's the wrestling? And they're literally like, let's go camping.
This whole episode is them camping.
Yeah.
And
well, most of them camping.
Yes.
Debbie and Ruth. Get lost.
They get lost with the girl that likes to hike, and then Sheila, who gets all dehydrated and everything and delirious. And all the other girls are back at the campsite together. And Ruth tells her that Sam said that he loves her.
Yeah.
And that she actually does love him back, but she can't tell him. And the girls sit around the campfire and they get real, start telling their backstories about being like in concentration camps, their family members, about being smuggled on a boat into the country, or on a plane, and then all their friends and relatives dying at the killing fields. They bring that up, you know. It's huge. I mean, like, you hear two pretty serious backstories of these two girls, because the Asian girl, the Chinese girl, who hates her character because she plays a very kind of stereotypically racist version of a Chinese
fortune cookie.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and when they mixed it up at night, the girl who's supposed to be her best friend played her and did all the stereotypical, like, Chinese things. She did. But she's like, I didn't mean it. It's just a joke. I'm just joking. Like, I wasn't trying to offend you. And then that's when her friend talks about coming across on a boat and what happened, and they're basically their family being genocide and this and that, and they bond, and you really get to learn them. And she's like, I'm not playing this character anymore, period.
Right. Yep.
And then, you know, Sheila throws her wig into the campfire.
Yeah.
Which is really significant.
It was.
Yeah. And then they go back to the hotel, and Ruth finds out that Sam's checked out and left because he's headed back to Hollywood with his daughter to sell her script.
Yep.
Then
a lot of time goes by.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing, too. Like, all right, so no, episode 7 is basically all about Sam and his daughter in Hollywood trying to sell the show.
Yep.
And this is when he has his heart attack.
Well, basically after they sell it. Because they don't have a hard time selling it.
No, they went to like 4 different places.
Yeah.
People wanted it, but he's like, this isn't the right place. This isn't the right place. Except that one guy that just brought him in to tell him he was a piece of shit.
Right.
But that
was fucked up.
Yeah, but then when they go to the perfect place to sell it, she's like, I want you to direct it. That's it. He has his heart attack. We go back to the hotel. Now Debbie's there, and she's brought her son Randy to Vegas, and this kid's a pain in the ass. He just screams the entire fucking time. Like, I'm sorry. I've had 3 kids. None of my kids have screamed the entire time like this kid does.
Nope.
It was excessive. And they didn't even use, like, the kids back to him. They used a face voice track for a baby crying.
Wasn't that terrible?
They didn't do that. The kid, they showed him screaming the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, usually,
yeah, I was like, what did they do? Did they, like, twist his nipples or something? Like, how were they getting this kid
crazy
to just constantly be screaming?
Yeah. Ugh. And Bash's mother's in town in this episode to meet his wife. Bash finds out that because he's married, he gets his whole $40 million inheritance. But Britannica and Bash's mom actually have kind of like a good little... Except first, she's just like, you're just wanting for his money. And she's like, no. And then she tells her the story of like, I found all these paychecks. He's never cashed them because he didn't know how to do it.
Yeah.
So he just left them laying around. So I would put them in the bank account for him and a savings account for him so he'd have it. He's not good with money. I don't trust him with money.
He's just a like, child.
Yeah. You don't trust him with his own money? No, I don't. All right. You're the perfect wife for him. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
And this episode was directed by Allison Brie, which explains why she wasn't in it.
Yeah.
I think she was in it for like 2 minutes. But Sam's had his heart attack. His doctor sells the script. I mean, his daughter Justine sells her script. She wants him to direct it. He's supposed to quit smoking and drinking, and of course he doesn't. And at first he's not going to direct it, but then he agrees to direct it because she wants him to, and they're working on this together. And we don't really see them again.
Well, we do.
Yes, there's only 3 more episodes, but like we don't see them at all in the next episode. Right, I'm sorry. We do see them again.
Yeah, because they call Ruth out.
Yes. Episode 8 opens with them celebrating the 50th show, and I'm like, wait a second.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. And then we get a long montage, which was kind of cool done, Ruth taking her makeup off, and everyone's moving around behind her.
I like when they can do photo tricks like that. You know, everyone's moving in fast motion. She's going at normal speed.
And, you know, then she goes over and picks up the book and starts writing in it, and it shows that it's show 200, December 4th, 1986. And she's like, oh, hey, guys, we just did our 200th show. And they're like, oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, because when it was 50, it was a big deal.
And now they had a cake, and everyone celebrated.
Yeah. It's like, oh, whatever.
Yeah. We find out Cherry owes the casino $5,000.
Yeah, because she has a gambling problem.
But that gets glossed over like that.
Yeah.
It's like
it comes out of nowhere, and then it goes away just as quickly.
Because basically she ends up doing some mud wrestling with, I can't think of her name, but the Hawaiian girl.
Yep.
The one whose brothers are wrestlers. They go do a mud wrestling together, and I guess she must have won $5,000 to pay it off the debt, because they don't talk about it again.
Yeah. Yeah, she's just like, yeah, I'm all paid off.
Yep. Oh, and that's at the end of it. She lists, Ruth listens to a voicemail from Sam that said that they want to cast her in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then episode 9, she goes to Hollywood, and she reads for the part, and everyone's like, yeah, she's not ready for it.
Right. Including his daughter.
Yeah.
She's like, well, I mean, I brought her out here because I like her, but, you know, she's just not right. And he's like, but we called her out here.
Yeah.
Like this was something that we were going to do.
Yeah.
And nope.
And she's like, well, Dad, we just can't, you know, blindly give people roles just because you want them to.
Right. And he doesn't agree with that, so.
He doesn't agree with that at all. Oh, God, this is when we have some, okay, so we find out that Britannica and Bash have not been having the sex.
Okay, this was some weird stuff.
Yeah, it was. And so she's talking with another guy who does like a BMX show, and Bash gets jealous of them kind of being together, and so he makes a point to rip into the guy.
But in a weird way.
It was weird. And then he like,
I'm going to be the only one to teach my wife how to ride a bike.
Yeah, and then he like buckles onto her and gives her a big kiss, and she's like, oh, if I make him jealous, this will be great. So she hires prostitute guy to come make him jealous.
Yeah. She asks the other girl, hey, can I borrow your boyfriend?
Yeah. I just want him to come over and I'll pay him. I just want him to pretend to fix something and make Bash jealous. Bash will throw him out. It'll be fine. And so Bash shows up and they're kind of sitting on the couch together. Not snuggling, but cozy.
Well, yeah. And Bash has like had a long day. So yeah. He's doing the whole, I'm exhausted. Well, hey, you want a drink?
Yeah. Well, hope you don't mind. I just, you know, I invited him to stay to check. So I just want someone to talk to. Yeah, it's great. You should have someone to talk to. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. And then the guy makes a comment, like, if I had a wife this hot, I wouldn't go anywhere. And then Bash's like, yeah, she is hot, yeah. I mean, do you want to kiss her? And then the next, and he's like, yeah. And then so she kisses him. And then the next thing you know, they have a threesome. But it's not just like they're both pleasuring her. I mean, at one point, the guys are kind of making out, jerking each other off.
I was going to say, they're reaching full trouser into each other's
pants. And she's just kind of there.
Yeah.
Because if you go back all the way to, like, episode 3, I think it was, is when that transvestite had the – did an audition for Bash, but made the comment of, like, basically called Bash gay and that he was married to cover the fact he was gay.
Yep.
And now we revisit it here with this. And this kind of ends Bash's want and need to be in Vegas.
Yep.
This whole ordeal. Because – it just does. He just doesn't want to be there anymore. They've been there almost a year. He wants to go home. He needs to find a way out of Vegas because of this happening.
Yep.
Oh, this is also the big show where the guy's raising money for AIDS, and then Gina Davis shows up in her showgirl outfit with tassels on her boobs.
Yeah.
Because she's the big, like, surprise at the end to do their bit, and then someone sets the bar on fire and graffitis it with racist, homophobic terms.
Basically saying that, you know, AIDS kills fags and stuff like that. Gina Davis looked very good for a woman of her age.
She did look good. Yep. She looked very good, actually.
Yep. Very nice outfit on her.
This is the episode where Sheila gives her big monologue.
Yep.
About what happened to her and why she kind of is the way she is. And that was pretty huge and amazing. And this is also the episode where Ruth goes to read for the part. She doesn't get it. Sam takes her out. Ruth tells Sam that he loves her. She loves him. And let's try to make this work. And so, of course, she's going to skip out because her and Sheila are supposed to do a bit together. And she doesn't show up, which is why Sheila has to do the monologue.
Right.
But then Sam wants to be honest and tells Ruth, hey, you didn't get the part, so sorry.
But we should still be together because we know we want it.
Right, but I didn't want to lie to you and say, you know, I didn't want you to think you got it this whole time, and I want to be honest up front with you. And she's like, fuck you, Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, she's completely just, like,
oh, it made me want to
mad at him for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, and Sam is, and so, and Sam's completely in the right. And so he's like, just get in the car, let's go. And she won't, so he drives away.
Yeah. Yeah, it was ridiculous because even if it wasn't her intention, that made her look so bad as a person.
Yeah.
Because she's like, oh, I'm finally ready to be with you. Oh, I love you. Oh, I've come to realize this. And he's like, well, you didn't get the part. Well, fuck you then.
Yeah.
Wow. That makes her look like a horrible
person. It does make her look like a wicked, horrible person. And this is also kind of cool because, Then we get to episode 10.
Well, in the meantime, one thing that you've glossed over is that Debbie is now having an affair with Pex.
Not an affair. They're in a relationship because he's not married. They met on the plane when you talked about the commuting, yes.
Yes. And, you know, she kind of met him. Good actor. I can't think of his name at all. But he's been in Carnival.
When we first met him and he had the beard.
Yeah.
And then we see him later on and he doesn't. I didn't recognize him. I was like, is that really the same actor?
Oh, yeah. But great guy. He's a businessman, lots of, you know, money that he throws around. And so she's screwing him regularly, but they're in a relationship.
Yep.
And then he told her about a big business deal that he's got going on.
Well, he has multiple deals, and he starts bringing her along because she's easy to look at, and she's real good with all these people. And she's like, well, aren't we partners in this? He's like, no.
Yeah.
You're here to look at.
That's right. You're on my arm, and I make the money, and I make the decision. Men are talking, essentially.
Basically, yeah. And so she's like, fuck you.
Yep.
Because that was what happened was he was having trouble closing a deal on buying this TV station. And she's like, well, yeah, because you're way under offering him. Like, he knows it. It's clear that you are. You should do blah, blah, blah. And that's when he's like, hey, leave this to the men folk, okay? Right. Yeah.
So she's like, well, I know what it'll take to close this TV show. I should find somebody else who has some money.
So she goes to Bash. Mm-hmm. But not until episode 10.
Right.
Episode 10, it's Christmas time. Right at the beginning, Bash finds out that Paul isn't a maintenance guy at all. He's a gigolo.
Yeah.
Because he's like, you got to fire him. She's like, I can't fire the gigolo. I mean, I can try and make him go to a different hotel. He would probably enjoy that.
Yeah.
But, you know, but I can't fire him. Ruth is all sad and depressed that she didn't get the role.
Yep.
And she's jealous of Sheila because she feels like Sheila's doing real acting like Ruth's always wanted to do.
Right.
And Carmen wants to do a Christmas Carol for this show. And I got to say, we finally see some wrestling. And how they incorporate a Christmas Carol into a wrestling show.
It was pretty awesome.
It was very well done.
I liked it.
And my favorite part was when we get the Ghost of Christmas Future.
Mm.
And it's Carmen, the Hawaiian girl.
Yeah.
And essentially doing an Undertaker gimmick. And they come
That's exactly
out.
Exactly what it was.
They put the Ebenezer Scrooge tombstone in the ring,
mm-hmm.
and they put a light on the ring to make it look like it's a the
rectangular
grave.
Rectangular light.
Yes,
yeah,
like it's the awesome. Grave. And then they wrestle a match in the ring where she keeps trying to put Scrooge into that light to put him in the grave, and then eventually does, and of course the light. That was genius.
It was awesome.
That was like really well done. I mean, it was really neat. I liked it a lot. And that finally we get to see, like, the most wrestling we see all season in this episode, and it's that. I wrote, Debbie is pissed because her boyfriend belittled her contribution, so she got Bash and his company to buy it out from underneath him just to make a point to him.
Yep.
But Bash tells Rhonda that he just wants her, and he wants to get out of Vegas, go back to L.A. and start a family. She didn't seem to like the whole family idea, but she was all up for getting out of there and getting out of yes. Vegas and getting back to L.A.
Bash was really, really paranoid.
Oh, he was bad.
Because he wanted the guy gone because, as he said, he liked it.
She saw me with him. That was the big thing.
She saw me with him. She saw that I liked it. She'll want me to do it again. I can't do that again. Yeah. Which, that's what the drag queen there called.
Yeah. Yeah. So, what happened was, is at one point, Debbie's boyfriend, Tex, there makes the comment of, like, how Debbie was smart for getting out of acting, getting in producing, having something to fall back on.
Mm-hmm.
Because you won't always be able to act. So, you're smart because you're getting on the level where now you're in charge of the actors and you're controlling things. And that was part of her idea for buying the TV studio because, well, real quick, we go out to L.A. again, and it's Sam and Justine are at a diner, and she gives him a shirt for Christmas, and he gives her adoption papers. Because she's like, I'm too old to adopt. He's like, yeah, I know, but legally I'm not your dad. My name's on your birth certificate now. This will make me legally your dad. So, you know, for, you know, inheritance purposes, whatever, something happens to me, you can have my stuff. Because
he had the heart attack that he still hasn't told her about.
Exactly. And so that's kind of how they end.
Mm-hmm.
And then Carmen, we get back now, and Carmen tells the group that, hey, she's leaving the show to go join up with her brother.
Not the whole group. She tells Debbie and Ruth.
That's true, because everyone's kind of going off on their way.
And she didn't want the rest of the girls to be sad, so she said that she wanted to not ruin Christmas, so I'm only telling you two, but here you go.
Right.
And Debbie can't talk about the TV deal because they basically said until we vinked it you're not allowed to speak to anybody. And so she keeps telling Carmen that she's like, just don't do it. I promise there's gonna be something good, just don't do it. And Carmen's like, sorry, don't make this harder than it is, but I'm leaving.
And Ruth is heading off to Denver, then up to Idaho or wherever she's going back to meet her family for Christmas. And that's when Debbie tells her, look, I got bashed to buy a TV channel so we can have a wrestling show on the TV. And then she says, we'll have to make new characters, of course, because we can't use our own. I'm going to be the president, and I want you to direct.
Mm-hmm.
And Ruth's like, and Debbie is telling her for the right reason. And she's saying, this is, you know, it's basically like, you're my friend.
Mm-hmm.
We've been struggling together. Face it, Ruth. If you were going to make it as an actress, an actor, you would have done it already.
Yeah.
You haven't. This gives you something to do to stay in acting. It's basically like what Debbie's boyfriend Tex told her, you know, hey, good job getting behind the scenes. That's the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And Ruth is like, no, I don't want this. I want to act. That's what you want to do. That's fine. I don't want to direct this stuff. I want to be an actor.
Yeah.
And she leaves. And that's kind of how the show ends.
You're talking about your dream. This is not my dream.
Yes, that's right. And so my assumption is that season four will be them back in L.A., for the TV show.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which will be a TV show about wrestling, so hopefully we have a lot of it.
And we'll see who comes back, because it sounds like Carmen won't be back. Ruth may or may not be back.
Yep.
And, you know, what about the characters? You know? They're going to have to make new characters, which most of the girls seem to be happy about.
Yes.
So that'll be interesting.
Yeah. I enjoyed the season overall.
Welfare Queen will be a manager.
Oh, that's right. Because of her back injury, she's now a manager.
I like how Carmen brought it up. You know, she was talking about managers. She goes, hell, Cyndi Lauper managed at WrestleMania 1. The crowd went nuts for it.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, well, maybe.
She brought up Captain Albano, Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Mm-hmm. So overall, a lot of character development, a lot of relationship stuff, a lot of not what you would expect in a show about wrestling.
No.
I didn't hate it. It definitely was not my favorite.
But considering the first two seasons were so wrestling heavy, this was a strong departure from that.
Yes.
So, what movies did you watch?
Well, here's the thing. So I tried like four times to watch the two most recent Into the Dark on Hulu.
Yeah.
One of them was about a Mexican girl who was pregnant and was trying to get smuggled across the border. Seriously, like I'd watch a couple minutes and it was subtitled, so I had to keep looking down and I was like, I don't care enough about this story. I haven't been impressed with most of this anthology, so I'm not going to care enough to actually sit there and watch this.
Yeah.
So again, three or four times. I watched the most recent one called School Spirit.
Yeah.
It was The Breakfast Club. You know, these four or five kids that were all in detention on a Saturday, the overbearing vice principal who's an alcoholic, and it was dumb. No surprise. There's a killer based on this old woman who was a teacher.